Max sensed that something was going on that he was not going to be part of, but didn't protest when Castillo put him in the back of the Mercedes SUV and firmly lashed his leash to a metal loop in the floor. Deschamps would drive the truck and Max to the airfield at Formosa, where Taurine and Miller had taken the Gulfstream. Castillo had planned to send Lester Bradley with Taurine and Max, but the piteous look in Bradley's eyes when he was told of this was even more piteous than the look in Max's eyes, and Castillo's resolve melted. "Cover my back, Lester, and that's all," Castillo ordered.
"Aye, aye, sir."
Leverett intercepted Castillo and Bradley as they walked toward Big Bad Wolf, its rotor blades already turning. Lorimer, Mulroney, and two shooters were getting situated inside.
"Go get aboard, Lester," Leverett ordered. "I need a word with the colonel. And don't shoot anything until I tell you."
When Bradley was out of earshot, Castillo said, "Now, Colin, would the colonel accept some friendly advice?"
"Not right now, thank you just the same, Mr. Leverett. I have a lot on my mind."
"Thank you, sir. How long has it been since the colonel has been referred to as Hotshot Charlie, the boy wonder?"
"Meaning what?"
"May I remind the colonel that he is now a colonel, and that colonels, even light colonels, sir, are supposed to keep their minds free to make command decisions, not drive helicopters."
Castillo stared at Leverett.
"Let the kid drive, Charlie. He's good. I've been around the block with him and the other kid before."
Castillo glanced at the Huey, then looked back at Leverett.
"If the old man's memory serves, you've been around the block with me once or twice too, Colin. Some people thought I was pretty good at this sort of thing."
"You were. That was then. This is now." He paused. "Let the kids drive, Charlie."
"Fuck you, Colin," Castillo said, and walked quickly toward Big Bad Wolf. The pilot, a young captain, was holding open the pilot's door.
"Where would you like me to ride, sir?"
"Probably there would be a good idea," Colonel Castillo said, pointing to the pilot's seat. "That's where they keep the handles and levers and all that aircraft crap."
"Yes, sir."
"Big Bad Wolf, light on the skids." "Big Bad Wolf, off." "Big Bad Wolf, commo check."
"One, two, three."
"Big Bad Wolf, M minute and 10. Engage computer on my bong." Bong.
This was far from the first time Castillo had flown an assault mission using the technique known informally as flying the needles, but it would be the first when he would not actually be flying from the pilot's seat of one, usually the lead, helicopter.
"I'm not flying. The kids are." Colin was right about that. "I haven't flown a Huey for a long time. I am no longer Hotshot Charlie, the boy wonder. This is no time for me to fuck it up by thinking I am."
Castillo knew that the destination coordinates and the desired time of arrival, in this case, 600 seconds from his bong-setting order, had been all fed into computers aboard the Hueys. The computers would make the necessary computations and convert them to signals that activated indicator pointers, the needles, on the compass, the radar altimeter, and the ground speed indicator. By keeping each helicopter's compass and its altitude and ground speed indicators pointers lined up precisely with the computer-generated data, continuously making adjustments en route, as many as 10 helicopters can arrive simultaneously within 2 to 3 seconds on target from several directions.
"In our case, Big Bad Wolf and Red Riding Hood 1, 2, and 3 from 3 different directions, making this damned difficult and complicated and requiring pilots of extraordinary skill and great experience to carry it off. And these kids, these Army aviators of the 160th, are the world's best damn chopper jockeys."
At M minute, less 3 seconds, Red Riding Hood 1 popped up from its nap of the Earth altitude east of the target and rose to 100 feet above the ground. There were faint lights visible within the compound beneath Red Riding Hood 1. At M minute, what looked like an orange ribbon flashed down to the ground from the opened side door of the helicopter. It lasted about 10 seconds, and then Red Riding Hood 1 made a steep turn and left the area. The orange ribbon had come from a Dillon Aero M134D 7.62mm weapon system mounted on a pintle in the helicopter. This weapon is patterned after the Gatling gun, a multiple-barrel weapon that was developed just in time for Private Tiffany of the jewelry firm Tiffany and Company and of the 1st United States Volunteer Cavalry to buy several from the Colt people with his own money and in 1899 take them to Cuba, where he put them to use assisting Lieutenant Colonel Theodore Roosevelt in chasing the Spaniards off San Juan Hill. The M134D, with 6 rotating barrels, like the original Gatling, but ones electrically powered rather than hand-cranked, on Red Riding Hood 1, was fed by a 4,400-round magazine that could empty in just over 60 seconds. In the 10 seconds the weapon did fire, it sent from Red Riding Hood 1 almost 700 168-grain bullets into a corrugated steel shed that contained a nearly new Cummins diesel-powered 150-kilowatt generator. This caused the generator to malfunction and the lights in the compound to go black. A moment later, the diesel fuel in the tank behind the shed burst into flame. Several moments after that, the electric lights of the compound flickered back on as an automatic system fired up the backup generator, an identical Cummins. This coincided with the arrival of Red Riding Hood 2 from the north at M minute plus 5 seconds. And again there was an orange ribbon coming from the sky. And again, somewhere around 700 bullets flowed down, these striking the shed housing the backup generator and causing the generator to malfunction, its fuel supply to ignite, and the lights in the compound to go out again. As Red Riding Hood 2 left the immediate area, Red Riding Hood 3 and Big Bad Wolf appeared from the south. Red Riding Hood was going to go in as low as possible to the ground and train its M134D on the corrugated steel building that the satellite imagery interpreters believed to be the compound headquarters. Lots of people and a rather powerful shortwave radio station had been detected, and a motor pool behind that building. Big Bad Wolf was going to land in the compound as soon as Red Riding Hood 3 fired at the headquarters building, then offload 3 shooters. The shooters would rush to the pool where DEA Special Agent Timmons and the 2 gendarmes had been chained, free them, and load them onto Big Bad Wolf, which would then immediately take off under cover of Red Riding Hood 1 and 2, which by then would have returned to lay down covering fire. Red Riding Hood 3 by then would be seeing what it could do to facilitate the passage of the gendarmes from the highway to the compound, conducting what is known as reconnaissance by fire.